Talking Live with Peter Janetsky.
Tonight we're actually talking about the internet and affairs on the net. What happens when the negative dark side of the internet impacts your relationship? And we've got a couple of people we're going to get to. We're going to get a text message, then we're going to talk with Katie on the phone. But I'm actually really keen to hear stories from anybody. 1-385-1314 is the number to call. Or text message 0413096509 or email questions at talkinglife.com. And the text message that's come in, what do you do when a guy on Facebook tells you he loves you? He lives in London. I've never met him. He's asking personal questions. How much do I share with him? Carol?
Well, yeah, I don't quite know what you mean by personal questions. And, you know, is he trying to develop the relationship? Do you get that sense? Is he trying to check you out as to whether it's something that could develop into a relationship? So this is one of the risks of entering into relationships on the internet, and you don't have all the other real life features of body language, tone of voice, being able to observe the person interacting in a variety of situations. All you have is the typed word or the spoken word, and you know, it's a question of how much risk you want to take and whether you want to reveal in small doses and see what his response is, or whether you want to, you know, present yourself in detail to him.
Yeah. Pete?
Excuse me. Look, my initial thought is how does somebody who says he doesn't know you actually figure out that he loves you? That's where I'd be starting from. For a start, somebody who doesn't know, wouldn't know you if he tripped over you in the street. You know, how can somebody be sincere about that? And I think, you know, huge alarm bells ringing. I'd be very careful about the sort of responses that you make, and I agree with what Carol said.
Straight away, my thought is to the article in today's Sunday Mail, and one of the headlines was Crush Rekindled Online. And how do you know whether this is love or a crush or whatever? And as a counsellor, therapist, and as an educator, is that I actually ask people all the time when they use the word love, what do they mean by that? And as an academic, I've got some frameworks that I can draw on. But, you know, are they talking about they've got nice feelings towards you? You know, are they talking about the sort of love that takes years to develop where you just, you know, come hell or high water, this is what I'm going to do? And I would actually want to clarify, when you say the word love, what do you mean by that? And as Pete says, you know, how can someone who doesn't know a lot about you really say they love you? And I think that's, you know, be very, very cautious. Sound it out.
I mean, one way to play this out is to think, you know, if somebody who you didn't know walked up to you in a nightclub and said, I love you, how would you respond to that? You know, I guess, you know, I think we get a bit tripped up by the sorts of ways that we'd respond because it becomes an internet thing and the... You know, the pressure of the instantaneous nature of the relationship isn't there. But when the person... I mean, I'd be thinking about it in terms of how would you respond to somebody if they just walked up to you at random at the Ecker and said, I love you. I mean, you know, what sort of responses would you have? And I think people get a bit tripped up by the sort of stuff that happens on the internet. And I think that's one way to think about it.
And even in real life, it will take quite some time before you begin to know whether that love that... the person speaks of is the love that you are looking for.
Yeah.
You know, and as Peter said, love means different things to different people. And it's a question of what you are looking for and how you will discover that. And even in real life, that takes a long time.
Psychologist Meg Perkins says you need to do four seasons before you know somebody. Yeah. And I also like, and I quote Meg on this all the time, if you're not happy single, you'll never be happy married. And so one of the things is that people can be looking for a way to fix their unhappiness, and we need to be careful about that. So I hope that helps. Thanks for your text message. If you want to text 0413096509, or you can email questions at talkinglife.com, or you can pick up the phone, 1-300-85-1314 is the number to call. And we're going to talk with Katie. Hello, Katie.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, pretty good, actually.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for being the first lady to ring in.
No problem. I very occasionally I'm driving home to Brisbane and didn't actually have the radio on tonight, but my brother was, and he said, you need to listen to this. So I just felt that I really needed to ring up, especially when you asked for female stories, stories from females. I'm 34. Mm-hmm. I was married young, met my husband in the church, had quite involved lives in the church from quite a young age, had a sincere relationship, busy studying, working, that was me, and we had a business that was very involved for my husband, ex-husband now, and he's in the computer industry, and he used to spend a lot of time on the computer, on the internet, whilst at work, struck up a instant message friendship with a girl, inadvertently, unbeknownst to me, that was just harmless initially, and I didn't know anything about this at all, unravelled as time progressed, and I have a 10-year-old son, mm-hmm. and when I fell pregnant, they kind of stopped communicating. It was that affair of the heart that you were talking about earlier. It wasn't, nothing had happened, they'd never even met, but it was just that connection of communication, and that suited his time frame, being busy at work and I was studying and working. Now, nothing happened for quite a while. Once I had my son, he was only 5 months old, and they struck up that friendship again. That lasted for about 6 months before they actually met, and it progressed there into an intimate affair. But it was a gradual progression of that disconnect in emotions that didn't seem to make sense to me, and I was always grappling at what's going on and trying to understand, but it was this whole other world that I was completely isolated from, that I had no idea about, because it happened during his work time and on the internet and instant message. He can be doing stuff on the computer and having a little chat session happening on the side, and completely whole other world created. And this particular person knew that he was married, knew that he was expecting a child, and then had a child, and it didn't seem to faze them, and it was an affair of the heart that evolved, mm-hmm. that caused a very, very, very difficult position, because we had a genuine relationship prior to that, but it disintegrated gradually to the point that he actually felt completely torn by the fact that he loved two people, and in the end he made a choice and he left me. And it's been a long journey for me to go through that, particularly having a really strong faith, and spent a lot of time myself searching at what I'd done wrong, because I got to the point of me thinking it was all of my fault, because a lot of the deceit and blame was he never loved me, because he tricked himself so much into believing the stories that he'd been telling. And it took a long time for me to heal through that, and I think that's a really important part of the process, because I see a lot of people that have breakups or separations and they don't spend that time healing. And you have to, because you need to understand,
Katie,
what caused it.
Katie, yeah. When you say a long time, are you talking weeks, months, years? Tell us a time frame.
From the time they were communicating to
the healing process for you.
I'd say probably at least 3 or 4 years,
mm-hmm.
And that was a really, really intense process. I guess I was not interested in even a relationship. I really, really, really spent a lot of time in prayer, seeking God and seeking wise counsel, and some not so wise counsel, having counselling, really putting all of my effort into actually trying to have a stable relationship outside of the marriage. And I've come to the conclusion that if you cannot make a marriage work for whatever flaw in communication, or there's a personality flaw or something that causes an unraveling like this, it takes even more effort to make that work after a separation or a divorce.
Yeah.
So people are fooling themselves if they think that they can have a cruisy life afterwards. I've put so much effort into my relationship with my ex that people say, oh, you have such a good relationship and your child is fine. And he is, but that's taken a lot more work than it probably would have if we'd stayed married, because we're no longer together, but I'm constantly reminded of everything.
Katie, I was very interested when you said right at the beginning there that you knew about it, and the message I was getting, correct me if I'm wrong, is that even you thought it was quite an innocent connection.
No, I didn't know about it. This is retrospective. I didn't know about them talking. I didn't know about it until after it had become an emotional affair, and I inadvertently cornered him into revealing facts to me almost in an interrogation sense, because he just wasn't willing to tell me anything. And it was such a shock to me that I had absolutely no idea how he could have met somebody. I didn't know if he was gay. I didn't know if he'd met a stripper or a prostitute. I had absolutely no idea where this person would be, because our lives were so involved with our friends, and I knew it wouldn't be any of our friends. So it had to be somebody completely remote, not connected at all in our life, and it was through the internet.
And this is something we've been highlighting on this program, that people begin such connections and may see it as innocent friendship. They're not meeting the person, they're not going beyond just a friendly chat, but the risk of that is very great, and people need to be aware of that. And just talking to people out there, the risk of minimizing and not dealing with those issues in the early stages can become quite a danger to the relationship, and can lead to, the seductiveness of the internet draws you into other areas, and people ultimately end up developing those relationships which can be counterproductive to the primary relationship. And this is what happened in your case.
The lies that were told were that the affair, it only happened after, it's only just recent. It's only just become an emotion, an intimate affair. But what they couldn't see, neither of them, that the affair actually happened years prior, when they first struck up that friendship, and it became a gradual decline as the more he shared with her in just inane, mundane communication, the less he talked to me. And men don't need to talk as much as women do. So for a man's communication to decrease over a period of time is a significant impact on a woman's need for that communication. And it was so subtle. It crept in, and I remember just trying to grapple at it, going, what have I done wrong? What do I need to do differently? How do I need to communicate better? I never, ever, ever for one minute thought that the problem was beyond me to that extent.
Katie, let me jump in there. You asked that question, what did I do wrong? What could I do better? How do you answer that question now? How do you make sense of it now?
Make sense of it now is having confidence in the fact that I did whatever I could in the truth of who I am and my belief and my faith in God, and that I have now had validation from people who knew both of us intimately and could tell me or correct the lies that I'd been told about things like he didn't love me. Eventually that's what he said, I never really loved you. And I believed that for a number of years, and it wasn't until gradually the layers of those deceit and those lies, I could heal them through counsel and prayer, that I began to see, no, that wasn't true. That's his manipulation of his reality. That isn't the truth of what actually happened and where our relationship actually was. Because, and that was the freeing process, and that's why it took so many years to peel off all of those misguided things, because it actually corrodes the very essence of your self-esteem and who you are when it's such a gradual decline into an intimate sort of decline.
Oh, I want to catch the word you used to start that sentence off. It was corrode, and corrosion is gradual.
Yep.
Right, it is. And so here I'm hearing that your story about this dark side of the internet is that, one, you didn't even know what was happening. Two, you know something's wrong, but you can't pinpoint it.
Yeah.
Three, you rack yourself like, what am I doing wrong, when it's actually totally out of your control. And then you're actually dealing with a man who becomes, buys into the distortion or the delusion. And I guess, why do we talk about it as cyberspace or virtual? It's not a reality in one sense.
Mm.
Mm. I love saying to people, when I talk to men about pornography, I quote George Lucas, who says, film is an illusion. Film is the art of illusion.
Mm.
And I go, so if you're watching pornography on film or whatever, it's an illusion. It's not real. And I quote that, you know, Laura Croft was voted in the top sexiest 10 women in the world. And I go, she's not a woman.
Mm.
She's an animation.
Yeah.
What has come to the world that we actually can't discern between reality and an imaginary world? And so I'm hearing for you is that they created, he bought into an imaginary world where his connection, his meaning, everything was important for him there. And you're trying to make sense of it, but you can't.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the manipulation of that deceit. And I've got another tack to add to this because about a year or so after we actually got married, so that was 14 years ago we got married, now divorced however many years, but my dad met somebody on the internet. This was probably really early on in the scheme of things with internet relationships. He was here in Australia, lots of financial problems, and he struck up an internet relationship with a lady in America, and they ended up becoming engaged over the internet, having never met. He travelled over there and met her 3 days before they got married. They've been married for 13 years now, and I have to say it's not rosy. And people go, oh, that's a success story. But no, it's not, because it was built on lies and manipulation and deceit and narcissism. And it eventually comes unstuck when you can start to peel back those layers. And that's actually quite a process that's happening as of basically this week. And it's an interesting journey that I'm seeing with my dad and my stepmom. Mm.
Katie, I want to take you back to that self-blame that you spoke of. I think that's one of the most destructive things that we often see when couples do come in, is that partners blame themselves. What have I done? You know, what have I contributed to this? And the person who is going on the internet doesn't realize that that can lead to a real negative emotional spiral where you begin to doubt yourself. You know, so I can really empathize with what you say in terms of that self-blame.
The other thing that made that really difficult was when my reference, I guess, to unwise counsel. Every man and their dog felt like they had the right to tell me, oh, I hadn't been a perfect wife. And I got kind of sick of that in the end, because I was the only one that was putting my hand up out of the relationship saying, I know I haven't been perfect and I'm willing to work on everything. But everybody felt like they had to put it back on me, that it's the wife's responsibility. And I'm like, hang on a minute. What about making him accountable for his actions? And even to the point that his parents actually just sort of downplayed it and said, oh, he was just looking for comfort. And I just thought, what about me?
He didn't even give you a chance.
And that's very cultural thing, isn't it? That the women are responsible for the relationship, and something goes wrong, well, it's about the woman. And particularly when it comes to internet, it's about, the man's not getting what he wants, not getting the intimacy, not getting the sexual interaction, and therefore he has to compensate for it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Katie, can I give you a clinical term?
Go for it.
You got crap counsel.
Oh, I know that. I got some good stuff and I got some crap counsel.
Yeah, you did. And because, come back to this, is that one of the books that I'm going to be writing in the future is going to be titled Normal Marital Disappointment.
Ah.
Because the fact is that, and I say this, I say marriage is one of those crazy things that actually makes you a bit mad, because what happens is that before you get married, you know you're not perfect and you're okay about that. And you know they're not perfect and you're okay about that. But once you get married, your expectations of them change. And
yeah,
therefore...
I'm quite a realist. I don't necessarily agree with me.
But a lot of people expect that, you know, the things that they discover about the imperfection they're not happy about and somehow don't expect them to be there. Whereas actually successful marriage is about learning to live as two imperfect people who are often very different and making the relationship successful. Now, my hunch is here is that part of this dark side of the internet stuff is that I can actually have the illusion of the perfect relationship and not have to deal with difference or imperfection.
Look, I agree with that completely. And part of, I guess, my healing process, you asked earlier about how long that took, And the starting point for me really shaking my emotional insecurities, I actually went online and I signed up and I got online profiles, and I just wrote about me from the heart, having done my sort of self-discovery journey even in greater detail. And it was a healing process for me to have the affirmation of the kisses and the flirts and the attention of people hitting on my side or sending me messages. And that was, to start with, it was almost therapy, and it was quite an invigorating process. But I've been very cautious because I've seen the damage that process can do, and I also get quite frustrated. I've still got online profiles, but I don't spend much time with them because I find that it's so false. Even the profile, everyone's being so selective with the words that they use, and their description of who they are is not right, or their description of who they want is distorted. And I find a lot of the times guys will write on their profiles, "I'm just looking for someone to treat as a princess. Are you going to be my princess?" And I can't stand that, because there isn't, that's looking for this false perfection, and that's not who I am, and that's not what I've ever sought. So if that's what they're talking about, then I'm the wrong person for
them.
Well,
there's a pretty good chance that's not what they want either.
No, that's right, but they think that's what you want them to say, and it's just this miscommunication all the way along, and it's not a real connection that you have.
Can I come at what Peter was talking about before from a slightly different tack, but end up in the same place? And that
you're
is, you know,
out. Sorry,
okay.
Yes.
I was just saying, I was going to come up with what Peter was talking about a minute ago from a slightly different tack, but I'll end up in the same place. One of the things that's ironic about intimacy is that the more you get to know somebody, the more crap there is. And that's, you know, the irony is that when you meet somebody, whether it's online or whether it's just in person, you can to some extent be whoever you want to be. But the more that you open up and the more intimate you become with somebody, the more crap they know about you, the more crap you know about them. And so when you're in a committed relationship or a marriage after about, you know, 14 or 15 years, that's a lot of crap.
Yeah.
You know, and to make it work, you've got to sit with all of that hurt and all that stuff that's happened and continue to work in the relationship, which requires a lot of effort. What happens with these online situations is you don't have the crap. You know, the it's Disneyland.
Until later.
Until later. And that's right. The other thing that I'd say about what's happened to you, Katie, is, you know, you watch the old movies, and in the old days it used to be, you know, the alarm bells for somebody having an affair would be your classics. You know, they're getting home late from work and they don't really have to work later. Or you pick up the phone and there's all these hang-ups. And so you've got a sense that maybe there's something going on. You can now have an affair sitting on a computer in your lounge room or someone else is watching your television. You know,
it's
much
job.
Easier. That's right. Yeah. And so I guess they're the two things that I'd say.
Yeah. And you're talking about intimacy, and someone who has written a lot about intimacy and relationships, a guy by the name of David Schnack, he says that to be truly intimate, you must be able to be honest, to be sincere with your partner. And it's not about presenting yourself as the princess, but really about your real self. And that's the point of real intimacy. And that only comes, you know, with real depth in a relationship.
David
and
Schnatz,
honesty from both parties. And, and that's, I guess, the revelation that I've got to with my ex, is that what I thought, like, I went into my marriage completely confident, having, putting everything on the line, going, this is, you know, really well considered, I guess, in God and within myself. And I expected that same level of him, and I thought that he had done that. But in hindsight, I don't think he was being honest with himself. And that sort of seed of dishonesty or uncertainty or whatever just was given a field to grow in with the internet, I guess.
Yeah, Katie, I want to finish with a quote from Dr. David Banner. And he says this. He says, "Your relationship with yourself determines your relationship with God and your relationship with others."
Yep.
And if you can't be honest with yourself, how can you be honest with somebody else?
Absolutely.
And David Schnatz is a favourite of mine, and he's written a lot about intimacy, and his latest book, Intimacy and Desire, is very, very profound. And another couple, Ellen Bader and Peter Pearson, who run the Couples Institute in the States, one of their books is titled Tell Me No Lies. And it's about, you know, how do you actually cultivate honesty where it is actually really honest, and sometimes it's not pleasant, but it creates a depth of intimacy. And I just think this whole thing of the dark side of the internet is that you can create a whole fantasy so quickly that makes you feel good that you stop working at what's important.
Absolutely.
And your story highlights that, and then it's now, from your story, is it's not just impacting, you know, you, but now it impacts your son and it impacts your whole... So there's it's the rock in the puddle, you know, that has the ripple effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's taken... Yeah, it takes a lot of soul searching and effort to get to this point, and it's nearly 10 years now. Or my son's 10, and he was 1.5 when my ex left, and I haven't really even been in a relationship. Like, I haven't been in a relationship since then because it's trying to find that sincerity in a busy life and responsibilities, and seeing the falseness in what people portray out there, and. I have to say it's a struggle to trust, particularly because my relationship started in a sense that I felt was right to start with, and if you can't find it in a godly environment, then where the hell do you find it, kind of thing. Anyway,
Katie, I want to really encourage you. Thank you for being the first lady to share a story about the dark side of the internet tonight. And I really appreciate your honesty and vulnerability, but I get a sense that if and when a guy comes along, you're actually going to have a pretty solid foundation, and maybe that's the upside out of this for you.
I hope so.
Yeah. Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
Peter, quick word about crap counsellors. I think just not only for you, Katie, but for our listeners out there, that we people need to be quite wary about whom they go for counselling, need to be quite selective. And so a word of warning there, particularly in dealing with issues that we are talking about tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Talking Life, I'm Peter Janetsky, and Carol Mizzo and Peter Brown are with me. We're talking about affairs of the net, about people who are, dealing with the dark side of the internet. Now, we've got about 25 minutes to go. We're going to go to sponsorship break and then we'll be back. But you can talk to me 1-300-85-1314. You can text message 041-309-6509, or you can email questions at talkinglife.com. We're going to talk with Ellie after we hear a word from our sponsors. So stick around. We'll be back shortly.
Talking Life with Peter Janetsky.